We've been talking about being thankful the last couple of weeks, and I just want to kind of wrap that series up today. Forgive me, I woke up this morning and both of my ears are completely stopped up, so I feel like I'm speaking in a tunnel, and I'm going to try to be careful so I don't lose my voice throughout the teaching today. But we've been talking about being thankful, and I'm going to come with one more message in this Just Thanks series and just wrap up with this message on the importance of being thankful. I think it has been an important reminder for us when we are pulled in so many different directions and we have so many opportunities. There are so many opportunities today to be upset, so many opportunities to be angry, so many opportunities to get beside ourselves, so many opportunities to be frustrated or to complain, that we spend so much time doing that that we honestly forget to be thankful. Or we get caught up in this want cycle, we get caught up in this need cycle and constantly believing that we do not have enough, that we forget about all of the good things that we have or that God has done. And so it's a good reminder. It's a good reminder when you understand that gratitude is defined really as a spirit of praise, of thankfulness, of appreciation. And first of all, I'm grateful to God. I'm thankful. Every good and perfect gift, it comes from above. It comes from God. If there's anything good happening in your life, I know there's good things happening in my life. I know it's because of the goodness of God in my life. And I think it's important to be thankful for one another as well. I'll just... I like the Lord a whole lot. It's just them people I can't stand. Sometimes that's our mindset. Sometimes that's the way that we think. But what would happen? What would happen in our community if we would just get thankful for one another? I know there are people that really stress the limits of that. I know there are people that really, really push the boundaries. And, you know, maybe I have that neighbor. Maybe I have that coworker that just, if I've got one last nerve, they are just jumping on it with everything that they have. And I can appreciate that. I can understand that. But what if I would look for the good in other people? What if I would make a conscious effort, a real effort at finding the good in every person? I can't help but believe that it would literally turn the tide in our community. We would see the good come out of that, and this is a wonderful season to do just that. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18 is where I want to read a verse of Scripture today, and I think this is going to help all of us. But Paul is teaching the church at Thessalonica. He says this for all of us. He said, "In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." That's a short verse. It's a simple verse, and yet it is so powerful and so packed with truth. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What if I told you today that I know the will of God for your life? Can't tell you how many times as a pastor people have made an appointment or people have caught me after service. I need to talk to you. This is so important. I don't know what God's will is for my life. I don't know what it is that God wants me to do. I don't know what it is that God is saying to me. I don't know the ways or understand what it is that God wants from me. And here it is, just as plain as the words written on the page. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This big unknown in our life, this big question mark that we walk around staring at day after day. What is it that God wants from me? He tells us exactly what he wants. He wants us to be thankful people. He wants us to be people who are grateful for all that he has done in our lives. And I want you to notice an important distinction this morning, because this may help you as well. It doesn't say that I have to give thanks for everything. It says that I need to be thankful in everything. That's just semantics. That's just words. No, words have meanings. He said, I'm not saying that you have to be thankful for everything that happens to you, because there are things that happen to you that are not any fun. There are things that are that happen to you that are not pleasant in any way. There are things that happen to you that are hurtful or damaging or abusive or difficult. There are things that happen to you, and you don't have to be thankful for those things happening, but I want you to be thankful in everything that is happening. So I sort of exampled it this way in my mind. I don't have to be thankful for the hurricane that's happening in my life, but I can be thankful to be alive in the hurricane. I was back in Texas this week for Thanksgiving and drove into our old neighborhood, my kids, we drove in, and it was amazing to still see more than a year later. September was a year ago that Hurricane Harvey came through and literally ravaged the area and did so much damage. We were thankful to be spared any flood damage or any of that in our personal home that we sold there, but so many of the houses around us had feet and feet of water, and still there are many of them that just moved out of their houses, just abandoned them. There are others that did what cleanup they could and then put a for sale sign in the yard, and the sign is still there. No one is interested. No one wants to live there. It is so sad. No, I don't have to be thankful for the hurricane. Those things are hard. Those things are difficult. Those things are not any fun. But I can be thankful in the situation that it is not worse, or that I have not lost my life, or that it personally has not done more bad or harm to me. So I'm thankful in that situation. There's always a silver lining, regardless of what circumstance you find yourselves in today, regardless of what may be happening, swirling, or going in your life. There's always something to be thankful for. And you may be saying, you know what, Pastor, I can't see it. I am so overcome and overwhelmed by the things that are happening in my life. That's when you need a friend. That's when you need someone to sit down with and say, let me just lay this out for you. Let me lay out what is happening in my life. Let me write this down. Let me script this out. Let me tell you what is going on in my life. And I guarantee you, the person that you're talking to will be able to see what you cannot see. They'll be able to see what you have become blinded to. Someone sitting there hearing your story would say, yeah, that's incredible. I can't imagine that. But can I tell you, do you realize how God was working in this situation? Can you see the way the Lord was moving over here on this? Do you see in that time when you felt so all in all? Did you not recognize the way that was turning and the way that was the Lord? I can be thankful in the situation. And that's what Paul said, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. No one can leave today saying that you do not know God's will for your life. Now, is God's will bigger than just one thing? Sure, I believe there that it's multifaceted. I believe it's multiple pages. I believe there's all kinds of layers to that. But this is the will of God. And if I will satisfy, if I will be obedient to, if I will come into alignment and in agreement with the will of God for my life, to be a thankful person. So we have these challenges. And Paul even teaches us how to approach these hard situations. You know, when you're writing it down, when you're scripting it out, when you're looking at all the things that you're facing. He said it in Philippians 4 and 6. He said, be anxious for nothing. Nothing still means nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, there's that word again, everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. I'm going to tell you, this Bible, it's true. It's true. And if we will live according to the Word of God, if we will live according to the Scriptures, it will build our lives and guide our lives. Paul said, be anxious for nothing. Let me ask you today, what are you anxious about? Literally, what are you anxious about? What is happening in your mind right now? What is overwhelming you? What is stopping your forward progress at this particular stage or in this particular season of your life? What are you anxious about? I'm not asking you to call it out to me, but you ought to at least acknowledge it. You ought to write it down. You ought to type it into your phone in one of those private notes that no one else can see. What is it that you are anxious about? See, sometimes I think we get addicted to the chaos. We know there's stuff happening. We know there's the health thing, there's the financial thing, there's the family thing, there's the kid thing, and then there's more kid thing, and then there's a little extra kid thing, and just seem like the kids are the problem, you know. Got one of mine right here on the front row. She my problem. Just kidding, baby girl. But no, we have all of these things that are happening in our lives. We have, and we get addicted to the chaos. We would not know how to live if we had peace. We wouldn't. If things were calm, we would not know what to do. If things were settled, we'd be out trying to start a fire, trying to create a mess, because all we know how to do is live in a mess. Some folks can't handle it if the house is too clean. They got to go spill something just to feel at home. It might be a little facetious, but I'm telling you there's some truth in there. And if you will write it down and if you will acknowledge it, if you'll say, all right, let me take inventory. What is it that I am anxious over? What is it that's causing me to worry? What is it that's getting the most of my attention? What is it that is causing me to lose sleep at night? And then here's the question I need to ask you. Have you prayed about that thing? Whatever that is, some of you, it's on your mind right now. You call their name. You know exactly what it is that's causing the anxiety in your life. Have you prayed about that? Have you prayed about it? Here's another question. Have you thanked God in it? Not for it. Have you thanked God in it? Oh, no, I'm waiting until He works it out. I'm waiting until He takes care of it. And then I'll give Him lots of thanks. I'm not saying He's going to be upset about that, but what would happen if I would be obedient to the Scripture and I would be thankful in the situation? See, again, I feel like I'm having to unlearn some wrong thinking maybe in my life. You can accept it if the word is true for you as well. But sometimes, you know, we think that thanking God, that's tough to say, thanking. We think, our mindset is that in thanking God, I'm all confused myself now. In thanking God that I have to acknowledge, oh Lord, I just want to thank You for this car wreck. I want to thank You for this trouble. I want to thank You for this diagnosis. No, that's not what He's saying. You don't have to be happy about what's happening, but thank God in the situation. Lord, I know this thing is happening and I don't like it, Lord. You know I don't like it. This thing is messing with my mind, but I want to thank You that You are still in control. I want to thank You. I want to thank You that I still have the presence of mind to thank You. That's important right there. I want to be thankful that I still have the right mind to be thankful regardless of what's happening in my life, because too many people get too bitter and too upset and too caustic with God. He said, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. How often do we approach God already upset? We go to the prayer meeting about the situation and we're already lit, already upset. Because generally, maybe it's just me, but generally, we do not pray about things before. No, generally, we're racing to the prayer room after things fall apart in our lives. That's why he's saying this is the will of God for you, to be thankful in everything. When you're thankful in everything, then you really don't get caught by surprise. Things come, but oh, Lord, I didn't know that was coming today. I didn't know that was going to happen. I didn't know they were going to knock on the door. I didn't know the doctor was going to say that. I didn't know that's what they were going to tell me about my kid's grade. I didn't know that's what, but Lord, I'm already thankful. I'm already living in thanks. I'm already living according to your will for my life. And so this is just temporary. This is just light affliction. This is just momentary, Lord, because I'm thankful in everything. And I'm not going to be anxious about this because I'm going to approach this with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. I'm not waiting until it gets worse. I'm not waiting until it's more of a mess. Listen, if you drove to church today and your car was making a noise, and you thought, you know what? I know that noise is not right. I know that sound is not normal, but I'm just going to keep driving it until it gets worse. Guess what? It's going to get worse. And then when it gets worse, you can't act surprised that it got worse. Am I way out in left field today? You can't act surprised that things went in the direction that the sound was telling you that it was going. So that's why if you are preemptive and you are proactive and you're not waiting for things to get worse. You're not waiting. You know, my teenager is. I can see the decisions they're not making. I can see the friend choices that they're making. I can see the handwriting on the wall. But I'm just gonna watch and wait. No, you're gonna get very disappointed and hurt and upset when you see how things are going. You have to get right in the middle of the situation. Be anxious for nothing, but approach this with prayer and supplication. Everything by prayer and with thanksgiving. Because gratitude is the greatest of all attitudes. Everything. Someone say everything. Everything begins with thanks. Everything begins with thanks. All healthy relationships have their foundation in gratitude. Good relationships, healthy relationships, they're founded in gratitude. You know there are 513 verses in the Bible related to thanksgiving and gratitude. That's equal to the amount of love verses, and yet many more than the verses on hope and faith. There's not one of us that would say hope and faith are not paramount and important to the scripture, and yet he wrote more about thanksgiving, gratitude, being thankful, than he wrote about hope and faith. In the Hebrew language, there are four words for our word thanks. You see them all through the Bibles. I'll teach these later and preach these later, and they're all good. But there is yada, there is toda, there is hala, and then there is shabak. All of these words represent ways of expressing thanks, ways of expressing gratitude back to God. Two of them, namely yada and shabak, actually mean to shout and to shout loudly. So when you're being thankful and you're using this yada, when you're using this shabak, you are expressing that thanksgiving with a shout, with a loud voice. It is a physical expression that can be heard, that can be seen. People around you are aware that you are trying to express thanks. No one's having to read your mind. No one's having to wonder what it is that you're worshiping about or what it is that you are saying, because there is a verbal outgoing. There is a verbal outflow. There is a voice that has been given to being thankful. If you remember the leper from last week, the Bible said that he turned back and with a loud voice gave thanks. Weak in his body, weak from years and years of living in this banished society, but he, with a loud voice. That's how we ended our service last week, with so many gathered around the altar. And I have no doubt that there were healings that began last week, and there were complete miracles that happened last week, and people finding wholeness in their life. Why? Because they were yada, they were shabak, they were giving thanks with a loud voice. It's so much deeper than just being thankful in my heart. You know, I was just thinking about being thankful. If it's just all up here, if it's all in my head, and I'm never expressing that, if I'm never saying that, I want to challenge you in this season. Don't just think it, say it. Don't just feel it, but do it. Because if you personally, if you've ever really been appreciated, it's because someone expressed that appreciation to you. They said it to you. We say it at team church rallies. Say it to my face. We're not waiting until we die and folk bring flowers to us. We'll say it, take time in every team church rally. Let's say it to one another's face, and people will say, you know what, I'm thankful for Tanya. She works so hard around here. She does so much, and David just follows her around, does a great job following her around. It's really great, you know, but she's just such a blessing to the church and works so hard and makes sure that this is done and that's done, and events are taken care of. I'm just so thankful for all that Tanya does. You know what? Right now, there's just her lips are just barely curling up over here on the side. You know why? Because someone is expressing gratitude. Now, if I just think that, if I just walk by her this morning and think, you know, that Tanya, she's a great person, but I just kept on going, and all that came out of me was a hello, good morning. She doesn't really know how I feel about her. It's the same way with the Lord. If I come into his presence and I think that God has been good to me, but I never express that to him, well, listen, I mean, the Lord is different than Tanya. Tanya may not know what I'm thinking, but the Lord knows what I'm thinking. He does. But he also commands us to express it. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. All right. Tell you what. I'm going to obey that scripture, okay? I'm going to obey that scripture. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. I'm fulfilling that. Why? Because I'm thinking about clapping. I'm thinking about praising the Lord. It's not enough. I got to pull my hands out of my pocket. I've got to put them together. I've got to open up my mouth. I've got to say, Lord, there is no one like you. You are great and greatly to be praised. I bless your name. I magnify you. I extol you. I'm grateful for you. Is anybody thankful in this house for all that God has done? Hallelujah! Someone just yada God for a moment. Someone just Shabbat God for a moment. He said, do it with a loud voice. I'm going to have to teach y'all how to be loud. Woo! Just about to feel right in here. See, when the heart is filled with gratitude, there's no room for negative attitudes. If I get my heart filled with thanks, the negative stuff cannot creep in. You know why? Because it's impossible to feel entitled and thankful at the same time. It's the truth. You know what else? It's impossible to feel self-pity and thankful at the same time. They just don't go together. You can't have a heart or a mind or a mouth filled with thanks and be muttering self-pity statements at the same time. It just does not work. That's why thanksgiving is the cure. Being thankful is the remedy. Being grateful is the prescription for all of the negative that's happening in your life. Because when the heart is filled with gratitude, there's no room for negative attitudes. Take that a step further. When you are full of gratitude, you are happier, and the people around you are happier. You're happier, and the people around you. You see, when you're focused on what you don't have, that's when negative feelings follow. Remember what we taught in week one. It's not happy people who are thankful. It's thankful people who are happy. You got to get it in the right order. Oh, you want to see somebody be thankful? Let me win that lottery. You'll see thankful. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't happen that way. It's thankful people who are happy. It's people who are grateful for what they have. I've not won a lottery, but I got enough money to feed myself after this service today. Thankful. Grateful. I don't have a new car, but I got one that's making a sound. I'm going to get it checked. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. What would happen if we would approach every situation in our lives with thanks? Colossians 3. Let me hurry. I'll be out of your way in just a moment. Colossians 3. Said, let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And then he says, and cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus. Thanking God the Father every step of the way. I love it. That's the Message translation. It just kind of brings word to life sometimes. And when you use that along with other versions of the Bible, you just get an expression of the Word of God. I love that. He said you have to cultivate thankfulness in your life. If this is going to happen, you're going to have to work at it, because everything around you is going to fight this attitude of gratitude. Everything, every circumstance you go through, every challenge you face, many of the people that you're related to, sometimes the people that you live with, will fight this attitude of gratitude. So you have to cultivate it. You have to shape it. You have to decide what you're going to tolerate in your presence. You have to decide how people are going to treat you and how they're going to speak to you. I don't want to be out in left field today. I don't want to be preaching in a foreign language today, but I want to help you understand that you can create the life that you want. This isn't self-help. This isn't guru. This isn't Oprah come back to life with a new show. This is the word of God. I can cultivate this in my life. And I do it with the power of thanksgiving. He said, let it have run of the house. Give it plenty of room. Give thanks. Just let it have run of the house. That means we want it in every room of the house. Our house is going to be filled with gratefulness. Well, the problem is I got this one, you know, one of my adult children are living with me, and they don't have that same attitude, you know, and they are grown, right? But they're not paying the bills. That means you get to decide what the attitude is going to be in your house. Now, I know I've just messed up, because I just touched the sacred cow in your house. And I'm not talking about their weight. I'm talking about the attitude that takes seat, that takes lordship, that takes headship. The negativity that says, you know what, everything in this house and every voice in this house is going to bow to me. It is an idol, negativity. You have to rebuke that and kick that out of your house and say, you know what, we're not going to live this way any longer. It's not going to do it. So, let me get practical for a few moments. How do we do this? I'm going to give you three quick ways, and you're writing this down, it may sound akin, because this is what we've been teaching the last few weeks, and really there's no magic wand. This is just how you do it. Number one, you have to fight familiarity. You have to fight familiarity. The Bible says that familiarity breeds contempt. When I get so familiar with things, you see, the natural human tendency is that the more familiar I am with something, the less I appreciate it. So fill in that blank. What do you need to fill it in with? I become so familiar with something that I no longer appreciate it. Is that my marriage? Is that my kids? Is that my home? Is that my job? Is that multiples of the things I just listed? What is it? I become so familiar with it that I'm just used to it. It's just, you know, and I'm not as thankful for it as I need to be. So a good step to combat that, a good step to challenge that is to just, I mean, literally walk around your house, open up your pantry door and say, look at all this food I have. Look at this. I mean, I don't have any chocolate chip cookies on the counter. But when I get over in this pantry, I see brown sugar. I see chocolate chips over there in the bag. I see regular sugar. I see eggs over there. I mean, I got all the stuff. I could have chocolate chip cookies on the counter if I wanted them. Forget it. Just go buy some double stuffed Oreos. What if I would walk around my house, go out to my garage? Look at that weed eater right there. I mean, nobody's used in a long time, but look, there it is. Thankful for my weed eater. Thankful for the stuff that I have. Thankful for all that God has blessed me with. My kids are all about their Christmas list, making a list. Nothing wrong with that. But go in that room and just look around. Look what you got. Go find last year's stuff that you bought. That you got, that you haven't even picked up. picking on the kids today. It's an attitude thing. Fight familiarity. Number two, remember what you have. Never let the things you want make you forget what you have. That's what we taught in week one. Here's the reality. If you have a $40,000 annual income, you're in the top 0.5% of the world's richest people. It's easy to look at that and say, it's not enough. I don't have enough. I can't meet this and match that, and I can't pay this and take care of that. But in comparison, I'm one of the richest people in the world. If you have food in the fridge and clothes and a roof and a place to sleep, then you are more wealthy than 75% of the world's population. If you can read today, you realize there are a couple of billion people, and these statistics are changing all the time. There's at least 2 billion people in the world who cannot read. And we're just throwing words on the screen, and I can read that. Maybe someone in this room that's challenged to read that, or you struggle. Maybe you've been dyslexic all your life. Things flip around. Don't be ashamed of that. Don't be embarrassed by that. Let us help you. Let us grow you. Let us help you become what you need. Remember what you have. Remember what you have. Is there anybody in this room that has, that God's been good to, that you've got some stuff? Somebody ought to be shouting, I'm blessed! I'm blessed! I'm blessed. I've got so many reasons to be thankful. I've got so many reasons to be grateful. Did all of those things, all of the challenges that I'm facing, all of the difficulties, did those just magically disappear? No. They're still there. They've still got to be dealt with. But I'm choosing this attitude of gratitude. And because I'm thankful in everything, the Lord is saying, you make me want to work for you. I like you being thankful, and it makes me want to make other things in your life work better so that you'll keep being thankful. Number three, fill your conversation with expressions and words of gratitude. Fill your conversation. Just when I'm at church, just when the team is up leading us in worship, just as long as I'm on the campus, fill your conversation with expressions and words of gratitude. You know why? Because too often we lead with feelings. Our feelings, our emotions are the first thing people meet when they meet us. They get out in front. What happened if we would lead with words? What does that do? Sometimes saying the right things will lead to thinking the right things. We tell you a truth. Words create worlds. They do. Right words create right worlds. What I speak, I can have. Faith comes by hearing. I'm hearing something today. This may be challenging your way of life. This may be flipping your attitude upside down, and you're saying, wait a minute, I'm hearing something today, and I, part of me is fighting this. That's the part that's had power and rule in your mind for so long. That's the enemy. Doesn't want you to hear this. But he can't do anything about it. You heard it. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word. And then I begin to speak. I begin to speak in spite of my feelings. I begin to speak. Doesn't mean we won't ever have something to worry about, and it's not realistic to think that we'll never have anything to complain about again. We will. It's just life. The question becomes, is negativity winning? Is that all people hear when I speak? Is that all people feel from me, is that negativity? And if that is, I've got to change something. I need a reset in my life. I've got to turn things around, because I can feel my conversation, fill it with better words. Here's what David said in Psalm 103. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." I've got a reason to worship the Lord. I've got a reason to express words of gratitude. And I'm not about to forget all of his benefits. I bet I've forgotten some of the things I needed to remember. Remind me, Lord, is a fair prayer to pray. Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful, Lord. Thankful, Lord. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful, Lord. I'm thankful. Here we are today, Jesus, with stuff in our lives. I have no doubt today that as I teach, there are people in this room that have some significant challenges, issues, pains, problems. It's hard to understand how life works. We have church members today, Lord, that are feeling the stress and the strain of a cancer diagnosis. Future is uncertain. And yet I heard a testimony this morning of someone else who just received a clean bill of health this week. Their cancer is completely gone. It's hard to understand life sometimes. While one is hurting and worrying, another is celebrating, thanking you for the victory. Only way to process it is to be thankful in everything.